beautiful, and the people said, amen. Beautiful music this morning. I want to thank Dr. Walker for the invitation to be here. I'm Daryl Patterson. My wife is also here, Sandy. We want to thank you for all of your prayers and your love and your concern for her over the past year. She is in remission from cancer, and we're thankful for that. So thank you for all of your support during that. The love of my life, I met 39 years ago, and it was not quite that long ago, though, that I needed to go meet her parents and talk about us getting married. I was in seminary, and her mom, I didn't know this, but her mom had said to her dad, well, find out what you can about this guy. And so I went to meet her parents, and her dad got me aside and said, well, I need to ask you some things. What about being able to take care of our daughter, and will you have a place to stay, and you'll have a home for her? And I said, well, I'm going to study real hard at seminary, and God will provide. And he said, well, what about a ring? Do you have a ring? Well, I said, I'm going to study at seminary and real hard, and God will provide. Well, one of these days you might have children. Have you thought about that? And what's going to happen there? And I said, well, I just know God will provide. And he asked me several other questions like that. I found out later that he went back and reported to Sandy's mom. And she said, well, what about him? And he said, well, it's not all good. There's some good news and some bad news. He said, the bad news, he doesn't have a job and there's no prospects. But the good news is he thinks I'm God. Her folks are wonderful, wonderful folks. Prayer warriors like crazy. And we appreciate them so much. Johnny had to stay home from church one Sunday because he had a sore throat. He was only 5 years old, but he stayed home with his grandmother, and the whole family went to church. And they came home, and they were all waving palm branches, had palm branches. And Johnny goes, what's with that? And his dad said, oh, the people all waved the palm branches over Jesus' head. And Johnny went, oh, great. Wouldn't you just know it? I miss one Sunday and he shows up. Well, I hope that God shows up this morning, don't you? I hope that God is here this morning, and I hope that we can hear God's voice as we read the scriptures. I hope you'll read along and follow along with me as we talk about where God is. Where is God? I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 13, verses 18 and then 21, just various verses to kind of give us a feel for Israel coming out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 13, verse 18. So God led the people around by the desert road. Now that's a sermon in itself. Would God ever lead you to the desert? So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Verse 20, 21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them. Can you say ahead of them? Ahead. That's very important. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And then skipping on to chapter 14, I read verses 10 to 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, And there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" Has the Lord ever said that to me? "Daryl, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front, where were they? In front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. Coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Throughout the scripture, a cloud or a pillar or fire very often represents God or represents the presence of God. Do you remember how God appeared to Moses in the wilderness? In a what? A fiery burning bush. And how did God appear at the transfiguration? In a cloud. And then when Jesus ascended, how did he ascend? In a cloud. And Jesus said he would return in a cloud with power and great glory. And so here we have the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and on the first day, the very first day they came out of Egypt, that cloud of pillar of cloud went before them. The Lord went ahead of them, in front of them, to guide them on their way. And the pillar of light gave them, a fire gave them light so they could travel by day or by night. Now think about this. Get that image in your mind for a minute. Israel leaving Egypt, and they've got this pillar of cloud everywhere they went, leading them, showing them where to go. Wouldn't it be nice if we as Christians had a pillar of cloud to show us where to go? Wouldn't that be so nice? Wouldn't it be great? It'd just be wonderful, wouldn't it, to have that pillar of cloud going, "There's God. All I have to do is just follow that pillar of cloud." And at night, wondering, "Where do I go?" "Well, there's God." They could just look out their tents and go, "There's God." Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be great to just see God and know there's God right there? So they traveled toward the sea. And when they got to the sea, I don't know exactly what they thought was going to happen at the sea, but they thought, well, here we're here, and they can't go very far that way. And then they turn, and horror of horrors, Pharaoh's army is coming after them. They're in a bad spot. Amen? Are they in a bad spot? They're at the Red Sea on one side, and Pharaoh's army coming after them. And then the cloud, which had always been where? In front of them, moved. What do we do when we feel like God's moved? What do you do when you feel like God's moved? So the pillar of cloud has been out front of them. Now the pillar of cloud is behind them. It's changed. Why did God change where he was? Where was God now? It was an elementary school, and the children had all lined up for lunch in the lunchroom. And in the parochial school, the nun had written a big sign on a stack of apples. The tray of apples was huge, and the sign read, "Take only one. God is watching." And so they all went through the line with their trays, and they got their food. And at the end of the line, there was a huge mountain of chocolate chip cookies. And one little girl turned to her friend and said, "Take all you want. God's at the front of the line watching the apples." Well, where is God really? Is God at the front of the line watching the apples? Is God at the end of the line watching the chocolate chip cookies? Or is God somewhere in between? Where is God now? He's been out front, and we can always count on God. Always count on God being out front. There he is. And now all of a sudden, God is in the back. Where is God now? Now the cloud is behind Israel. But why? To protect them from Pharaoh's army. Sometimes God is out front. Sometimes God is behind us. And sometimes God is in the middle of the Red Sea with us on dry ground. Now, where are you with God during all of that time? But no matter, sometimes we don't even know where God is. Sometimes we wonder, and we do ask the question, where is God now? Where is God when the diagnosis cancer? Diagnosis is cancer. And I can tell you, we've been through that, and many of you have been through that or other diagnoses. And for a split second, you might ask, where's God now? Where is God now? We who are Christians and have preached the gospel and the good news and faith, where is God now when there's a divorce? Sometimes we may not even know where God is, but where is God when innocent people die in Belgium or France or Dallas or Baton Rouge or Munich, Germany? Or San Diego, where is God? What would you say? Maybe God isn't where we thought he was. We thought he was out front leading, and it turns out he might be behind us. Now, folks, I think there's a word there for us to learn. We as Christians walking our journey with Christ, I hope we are learning to figure out where God is. And we can tell when God is out front leading. We know whether he's in back behind protecting us or we know where he is all the time. Now, there may be times in our life where we may be scared and something happens that frightens us. And for a while, we may say, well, where is God now? But overall, when you look at your whole overall walk with God, I hope that you are learning to be able to tell where God is. Because there's times I'm going to need you to come alongside of me and say, Daryl, God's here. And there's going to be times that you're going to wish you had somebody alongside you, and you've got pastors that will do that, but you also need other Christian friends. That's the reason we need prayer groups and Bible studies and accountability groups and those kind of groups that will kind of come alongside of us. And when that stuff happens, they can say, I know that God is here. We need that reassurance. Amen? Don't we need that reassurance that says God's here, God has this, God has not forsaken us, God is still here. I hope that you, through your Christian walk, are learning to figure out where God is, even if you're scared. If God's behind us, it may be because he's there to protect us. Now, we as Christians know that we've read the book of Acts, and we know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is not only with us, God is where? God is inside of us. Amen? Is God inside of us? That's what the Bible says. God is, through the power of his Holy Spirit, God is in us. And as great and as wonderful as it would be to have that pillar of cloud out front and we could say there's God, you know, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ought to be able to say, I know where God is. God is inside of me. I don't even have to have that pillar of cloud. Oh yeah, it'd be nice. Well, there have been times I wish I could see God's handwriting in the sky and just say, Lord, where am I supposed to go and what am I supposed to do? But as Christians, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, which is better than the pillar of cloud. We can hear God speak to us. And just as an example, when I was in high school, I felt called into the ministry, but I read a book, and it was by a Christian minister who was a chaplain in the military. And I just thought, well, God's calling me in to be a chaplain in the military. So when I got to college, I enrolled in ROTC. And I went and did the classwork with ROTC, and I got all of the equipment and the uniforms, and we marched. Part of our classroom time was marching, and other times we marched. And so I can remember being out on the marching field one day, learning the marches, and I heard God say, what are you doing? I said, well, God, I'm marching. I'm marching. And God said, I know, but what are you doing? And I said, well, I think God's called me to be a chaplain in the military. And God said, I've called you to be a pastor. Daryl, you'll use the chaplain work, and you'll want to know what's going on in the military, but I've called you to be a pastor. I went, okay. So I decided to study real hard, and God will provide. And so I majored in religion and minored in music, and later on in college, I thought, well, maybe God's calling me into music ministry. And after a while, I heard God say, what are you doing? And I said, well, I think you're calling me into the music ministry. And God said, I've called you to be a pastor. You'll use music in the ministry, but I've called you to be a pastor. Okay. Then I got to seminary, and I studied real hard, and I knew God would provide. And I went on a missions trip with J.T. Siemens. Now, he was a brother to David Siemens, and J.T. Siemens took folks on mission trips to India pretty regularly, almost every year. And I went on that mission trip because I thought maybe God's calling me to be a missionary. And had a wonderful experience there, going to all the places where J.T. Siemens had been a missionary and won folks for Christ and started churches. And And I can remember we were touring all different sites in India, and we were in a Hindu temple. And I can remember the multitude of images and gods and statues and just thousands of them in this Hindu temple. And I can remember God saying, it was almost a whisper, God saying, "Can you hear me here?" And it was a test, I think. I think it was a test to see if I could hear God there. And I said, "Yes, God, I can hear you here." And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm studying about missions. I think you may be calling me to be a missionary." And God said, "I've called you to be a pastor." And I went, "Okay." And I say that to say, God is with us all along the way, and it's okay to ask questions. Young people, you may be asking, "Where's God calling me?" Every other Christian who is here, it's okay to try out different things to see what ministry God is calling you to. Where is God calling you to minister? It's okay to try some of those things on. And trying some of those things on, you may find out, well, that doesn't fit. That's okay. That's all right. But God is there. God is there. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that God is there. God is always with us. And God may be behind us to protect us or to correct us or to help us learn how to trust more than we are right now, or to help us learn how to obey, or to spur us on, or sometimes just give us a kick in the seat of the pants. Or sometimes God may be there just to say, "Come aside and rest." Jesus told his disciples that one time, didn't he? Just come aside and rest. And God is there and may be there to help us to resist temptation, or to teach us to speak up for what is right, or to keep our mouths shut if we don't have something good to say. Amen? Or to convict us of sin, or to bring us to repentance, or to call us to a new level of discipleship, and that may be include prayer or worship or service or family or job or health or finances, or may be calling us to that new step of discipleship with that difficult situation you're wrestling with. Who, me? I'm not wrestling with anything. You know, I know enough about myself and I know enough about human beings that we're all probably wrestling with something. Something. You may think it's minor or it may be big. It doesn't matter to God. If you're wrestling with something, it does matter to God. It does matter. What are you wrestling with? God is there wrestling with it with you. God is there. Don't you ever think that God isn't there. God is there with that difficult situation, helping you wrestle with it. What are you wrestling with? God knows. Now let's get back to Israel. Where were they? Let's see. They were right at the edge of the Red Sea, right? They were at the Red Sea. Red Sea this direction. Pharaoh's army this direction. Sound like a good spot to you? Doesn't sound like a good spot to me. Sounds like they're in a difficult position, aren't they? Red Sea one way, Pharaoh's army this way. They don't have anywhere to go. I'd call that a difficult spot. I'd call that being between a rock and a hard place. Amen? You ever been between a rock and a hard place? Ever wondered, I don't know which way to go? That decision doesn't look good, and that decision doesn't look good either. Ever been there? But you get in a situation and you have to decide one or the other. One or the other. Which is it going to be? And neither one of them looks that good. Between a rock and a hard place where there don't seem to be any good choices. And our world kind of faces that sometimes. Our nation does. Our church does sometimes. And personally we do. Where it doesn't seem like we have a lot of good choices.
What about our world? We're at some kind of crossroads, I think, sometimes. Thank goodness for the Olympics sometimes, when I think, well, at least maybe we can see that at least for a little while people can get along. I hope. And you see some of the best in people. But there are other problems with race relations, terrorism, respect for law and authority, or in our nation, sometimes even wondering who to vote for in elections. Sometimes when the choice is, neither choice seems all that good. And I'm not picking sides. I'm just saying everybody pretty much realizes that, don't they? When neither choice seems that good, where is God then? Where is God then? Let me tell you this, and this is the only thing I'm going to say about that, and that is that no matter what happens in our elections, no matter what, God's still going to be there. Amen? Isn't God going to be there? No matter what, God's going to be there. Our church, some things in our denomination, their church is struggling that I work with a lack of attendance. Not all of them. Some of them are doing very well. Some of them have lack of attendance or few children or youth or limited finances or limited vision for the future. They act like they don't have very many good choices. Sound familiar? Where's God then? Personally, when you're facing those difficult choices, and you've got to choose between what doesn't seem like good choices, and you have to choose one of them, where is God then? God is either out front leading, or he's behind you protecting you, or he's standing right beside you in the middle of the Red Sea on dry ground. God's there. God is there. God is with us. God provides a way of rescue. God will provide. Remember? God will provide. God will provide a way of rescue. God will provide an answer. God will provide a solution. God will provide salvation. Will our president be able to solve all the problems? No. Will any future president be able to solve all the problems? No. But God is there. Let me ask you this. When Israel was at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, did Moses figure out how to solve that problem? Did Moses figure it out? Did he? Did Israel figure it out? Who figured it out? God did. And so in any situation you get into like that, God's going to help you figure it out. Now, God may have you do something in the process. He had Moses raise the staff. God may have you do something. But it's God who is in charge and will provide the way. Amen? God is working on it. Whatever it is, God is working on it right now. Whatever difficult choices you are facing right now, God is working on it. Do you believe that? I believe that. And God will find a way through it for his honor and his glory. And the people of God said, amen. We're closing with a hymn. It's number 77. It's How Great Thou Art. I think it's appropriate because it reminds us that, you know what? We serve a great, big, wonderful, all-powerful, all-loving, all-forgiving God. And we need to hear that regularly God has this. God has this. God has your situation. God has my situation. Let's stand as we sing.